Movie Queers, where personal stories are embedded in film history. Welcome, dear listeners. My name is Mateo Sancho Cardiel, and this is the first episode of Movie Queers, a monthly podcast that will take us back to when movies were in their golden age, but queerness was not so visible. Each episode will be an interview with a person that identifies as LGBTQ and that also is 60+. And the question is very simple. Which was your favorite movie when you were young? And from there, we'll see. Every month, we will discuss a movie chosen by a queer or let adult, and we'll see how far it takes us in the story of that person. And our first cinematic destination is...
Behind the waterfront of Cardiff is Tiger Bay, melting pot of many races. Into this colorful community comes a Polish seaman looking for his girl.
Who the hell are you?
What are you doing here? My girl lives here.
Well, she doesn't live here now.
Tiger Bay is the story of a little girl called Gilly that silently witnesses a murder in her building. But instead of getting traumatized by the event, she gets extremely curious about the criminal, played by German actor Horst Buchholz. Gilly decides to play with her secret to get closer to him and maybe have him as a bridge to a different life.
We are interrupting this program to bring you an urgent police message. Missing from her home, Landris Court, Butte Town, is Gillian Evans, aged 11. Fair hair, wearing dark blue jersey and jeans. She was last seen in St. Mary's Church, Butte Street, at approximately 2:30 p.m. today. She is in possession of a revolver which is believed to be loaded.
Tiger Bay was a black and white movie released in 1959, and it was directed by Jack Lee Thompson. He will eventually become pretty famous because of films like Cape Fear or The Guns of Navarone. But above all, Tiger Bay was the debut of Hayley Mills, the soon-to-be Disney star. This takes us to our first interviewee, Paul, that watched this movie in a farm town in Wisconsin and became an instant fan.
We're talking, you know, 55 years ago or something. I was probably seven or eight. It came out when I was 4, and I saw it when it was on, like, Saturday night at the movies on TV. So it would have been a few years before it would have, you know, made that transition. So I probably saw it when I was 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. And I just remember just falling in love with Hayley Mills. This was when TV, we only had 3 channels, NBC, ABC, and CBS, and NBC had Saturday night at the movies. So every night, every Saturday night, they would show a feature film. Then we had, I don't know what it was called. It was probably just called the afternoon movie or something, like at 3:30 in the afternoon on also on NBC. There was a movie every day. So after school, you'd come home and watch a movie, and Tiger Bay showed up a lot that was in their library. And so that's when I saw it a lot as a kid, over and over and over again for probably the next 10 years or so. And then it kind of vanished. I didn't have a lot of friends. So TV was, you know, that was my friend. That was my companion. So that's what you did as a kid. You watched TV. This would have been, you know, early 60s. So I wasn't a sports kid. So I wasn't out playing baseball with the boys. So watching TV would be a hobby. And, you know, I read a lot.
You're scared to be left alone?
I'm not scared. Go on then, go. I don't want you.
I just thought she was magical. She was so interesting. And the relationship between her and the sailor was really striking. I think I always wanted an older brother. My father was a traveling salesman and wasn't home very much. And when he was just a disciplinarian. He was just, you know, wait till your father gets home and he'll get out the belt and spank you for whatever you did wrong. So we were not close. And I always wanted an older brother. So I must have seen them in movies or knew other people that had them or something. And I thought that that was something that I really wanted. So I probably would have assigned that kind of identity to him, that he was her, you know, older. He was a protector.
What are you going to do?
Oh, find a ship back to the sea.
I always wanted to go to sea.
Would you like to work on a ship, huh?
Yeah, could I?
Of course.
Would you take me?
Well, I might.
Would you? Then we could go around the world together. And you forget all this.
I don't really know where this concept of older brother came from. But it was there. It was definitely there. There was a point where I guess my mother couldn't have any more children, and so they wanted to foster or adopt another child. And they came to me and asked me what, you know, I would like. And I said, I want an older brother. And the next day they came home with a 5-year-old when I was like 10. And I was like, why did you ask me? And that was sort of the beginning of realizing that my parents didn't listen to anything I said and didn't really care what I thought. Tiger Bay showed up, a really beautiful, interesting dynamic that I don't remember seeing in another movie. And as a little kid, probably that was what appealed to me, that an adult would, like, listen to you.
All right, I'll take you.
Honestly?
But there'll be no time to go home. You've got to stay with me.
That doesn't matter. But you do promise to take me with you.
Sure, I promise. Yeah, I promise. But wait a minute, what will your father say?
I haven't got a father. I live with my auntie. But she doesn't care. Sometimes I stay out all night.
You tell a lot of lies, don't you?
I had two sisters, one 2 years older and one 2 years younger, and my mother treated it like she had three girls, and then was very upset when I acted like a girl. But, like, I had to go to Girl Scout camp with my sisters in the summer and things like, you know, things like that. And it's like, well, then why are you surprised? I was always reprimanded for talking too loudly, but I think I was reprimanded because I sounded really faggy when I was a kid. Not that I don't sound faggy now. I mean, as a kid, I think it was probably really obvious and really disturbing to my mother. So whenever we would go anyplace, she would just be like, shut up and don't talk.
They wouldn't let me play with them. They all got proper cat pistols. And Gwyneth, she got a new cowboy outfit for her birthday.
Sure, I don't know what next. Little girls wanting to play with guns and bombs and dressing up like gangsters.
I don't know if I knew the word tomboy, but yeah, clearly she was a tough little thing. She was a little ruffian. She's just, you know, a fish out of water and trying as hard as she can just to get by.
Because so you were feeling like a fish out of water?
Probably. Probably. I was always an oddball and I knew it. I knew I didn't fit in. And that was partly because I knew I liked boys. By the time I was 5, I knew that.
Gilly. Soon, in a few years, you'll be grown up. Beautiful. Someone will love you. Want to marry you. And then you have all the power in the world for good or bad. Just with your little finger. A few words. To make happy. Or unhappy. Well, before you say those few words, think. Be sure what you say is true. Take a long time. Take a long, long time.
I don't think I was even attracted to the guy, to the sailor, because he was foreign and he talked funny. So he wasn't really relatable to me that way. I didn't remember until I saw it last night that there was so much racial diversity in the movie. That didn't register at all. So it wasn't a thing. I grew up in a small farm town, so it was all white. But you saw black people in the movies occasionally, if not frequently. This would have been before I was aware of, like, Sidney Poitier, who came on the scene around that time. And then we would see all of his movies. So it just wasn't like color wasn't really an issue in our family, thankfully. I mean, there were so many other things that were, but color wasn't an issue. it wouldn't really like register to me as something different or unusual. What was different and unusual was that black and white and they spoke in British accents. That probably was the first time that I was exposed to that. And that also led to a love of not just Hayley Mills movies, but all those black and white British kitchen sink movies of the 60s with Alan Bates and Richard Harris and Seance on a Wet Afternoon. So it's not like I watch it because I had a crush on him. It was just the relationship between the two of them, but it was all about her. And after that, it became a huge family thing. Whenever a Hayley Mills movie came out, that we all went to the movie theater and watched it. She was a big Disney's movie star after that. After, you know, she got Pollyanna after Tiger Bay. And then she cranked out Disney movies for about 5 years. And there was just one hit after another. So She was a really big thing. And it was, you know, whatever she was in, obviously, was family entertainment, so you could take everybody. We always used to like Doris Day, although I grew tired of her, you know, as an adult. I just think, when I watch her movies now, I just think they're really insipid. Elvis Presley movies we always went to see. My father wouldn't go because my father had no patience for anything. My mother would take us to the drive-in in the summer, and there would be a double feature, and we would go in our pajamas and have sleeping bags in the back of the station wagon. And we would fall asleep during the second. We would never make it through the second movie. And so often we saw movies that were made for adults because, again, my mother wasn't really concerned about her kids or what they thought or what was good or bad for them. It was just what my mother was really selfish and self-absorbed. And if she wanted to see a movie, we were going to see the movie because she wasn't going to pay for a babysitter while she went to the movies. So she would just take everybody along and we just had to do what she wanted to do. So because of that, I got to see a lot of movies that maybe I wouldn't see otherwise. And
that was a good thing.
Yeah, it was a good thing. Saw a lot of good movies when I was a kid.
You can't stay. You can't. Don't you see? You can only help me. Help me, Gilly. By getting off here. By getting off this ship. Every minute. Every second you are here.
I don't remember being scared. I remember I'm very, very reluctant to watch movies that are tense or threatening these days. I don't like suspense. And so thankfully last night I knew it was going to work out okay, even though I couldn't remember exactly how, but I knew it was going to be all right. So I could relax and enjoy it. But otherwise, I mean, if I'd seen it for the first time last night, I might have been really uncomfortable because of the suspense. I do watch more comedy probably these days. I watch a lot of stand-up comedy, which isn't movies necessarily. But yeah, I like to laugh. And I have trouble laughing because of the medications that I'm on. I have trouble actually physically laughing. So sometimes I'm just amused. But I need that. Because my emotions are kind of flattened out. So anything that can give me sort of a high. And obviously a scary movie would give me a high, but not a high that I would enjoy. So I don't go to see horror movies or anything.
Ronick, I want to give you a word of advice. And believe me, it is from a friend. Don't let your emotions run your life. Sometimes it isn't worth it.
I was aware of my gayness before movies were being made that would broach the subject matter, besides seeing, like, you know, men with their shirts off on camera or whatever and going like, ooh, you know, Captain Kirk has his shirt off again on Star Trek, ooh. But that was how I knew that I liked boys long before it was ever really addressed as a subject matter. I remember in junior high or maybe high school, there were a few TV shows. Room 222 was one, and a show called Family was another one that had a guest star of the week who was like, who turned out to be gay. All in the Family had one later on where an old friend of Archie's who was a policeman, I think, a cop or a detective or something, or an old army buddy, something like that, came out to him. And so that was the late 60s, early 70s when it was first broached. So I already knew by that point that I may not have had a word for it, but I already knew that I liked boys.
In this world, we sometimes have to tell little lies to help other people, our friends. Now, we call this being loyal. Everybody admires and loves somebody who's loyal.
I quit high school to go to college early and went to Evanston, Illinois, suburb of Chicago, when I was 17. And then I moved to California. This was the 70s when New York was really, really dangerous. And I'd gone in college to see some shows. I was terrified, just terrifying. So all of my dreams of going to New York and being a playwright just vanished. So it's like, well, I guess I have to go to California then, because that's the only other alternative. So I went to California for a few years, and then New York settled down in the late 70s, early 80s. And so I moved to New York then.
If you want to be happy and live a king's life, never make a pretty woman your wife. If you want to be happy and live a king's life, never make a pretty woman your wife.
And I watch a lot of gay movies from foreign countries now, which tended generally, like 90% of the time, be very serious. they're, you know, they're made in places where being gay is not acceptable yet. And so they've got a whole different story to tell. And I find it really fascinating and interesting and relatable in all kinds of weird ways. It's like, oh, I can't imagine having to live like that, because by comparison, we are so free. I like hearing about other gay people and how they live. And I think a lot of times that's one of the criticisms leveled against the gay community, especially in big cities, is that we don't extend beyond our little circles.
Shan't ever see you again.
Maybe. Someday. It doesn't matter, though. Wherever I am, you're still my friend.
I bought a DVD. I finally found a British DVD about 10 years ago, and I watched it then, and I've had it ever since. I just enjoyed it. I was a little trepidatious about watching it. It's like, what if I don't like it anymore? What if it doesn't hold up? And it did, and I really enjoyed it. And I didn't even remember this or realize it, but there's an audio commentary by Haley Mills on the DVD. So after we're done today, I'm going to watch it again with the commentary, because I'm curious to see what she remembers about being 10 and doing this. And that would be cool.
Well, this journey has taken us to a little bit more of Paul, to a little bit more of movies, and I hope this to be continued will engage you, and we will hear more very soon. Thank you for listening, and cut.